for our reading this afternoon. Let's turn to the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. We'll read the first 8 verses. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. As we consider this scripture this afternoon, it's best that we consider it in the context of what our Lord and our Savior, God our Father, has done for us, in that He dwells and inhabits eternity. There is no beginning and end with Him. Yet at some point He created time. He created the earth and the time that we live in. He created these things, and He knew beforehand that men would need a Savior. And He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. And so Jesus came down here, the Son of God, full of deity, our Lord and our Savior. And He took upon Himself flesh and blood, walked a sinless life, was forsaken by all, died upon a cruel cross, and which before He was platted a crown of thorns upon His head and spat upon and beaten. And He did this all, and He was sinless. He did this all for us, that we might have life, that we might inhabit eternity with our Savior, that we might be in the presence of the Lord throughout all time, throughout all ages, throughout eternity, as we would understand it. This is the love of God that He had for us. And this is His desire, that we would, that all would come to salvation, that all would come to the truth, and they would believe. And so in that context, let's consider this scripture that He laid out for us, that He wants to give us life, and that we would have it more abundantly in Jesus Christ. And so He lays out the way. And the Apostle Paul, directed by the Holy Spirit, says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And so there's this encouragement. And there's this exhortation to walk in a manner that pleases the Lord and abound more and more therein. So this is how we respond to the love of God that He has shown unto us in sending of His only begotten Son here upon this earth, that we would walk in a way that would please God and abound therein more and more as we have received the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says, "For this is the will of God." And often it's inquired, "What is the will of God? What would God have me to do?" This is what the Bible says, that this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that we would be set apart, not in the worldly ways and dwelling therein, but in a way that would please God, that we would be sanctified, set apart for His use, that we would abstain from fornication, that fornication would not be a part of a believer's life. and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This is what the Lord is calling us to. He redeemed us. He saved us. He loves us. He wants to give us life. And he's saying here that we should know how to possess our vessel, our bodies, our spirit, our soul, in sanctification, in that being set apart for his use and with honor, with holding of great value the life that we have, the life that God has given unto us, and what he would desire of us in our service. And he says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know God, that would not be a part of our life. That filthiness, that strong desire for the things that would satisfy the flesh. And so we think of an example in the Old Testament, a faithful man, Joseph, how that when he was in Potiphar's wife, and the Bible lays out how faithful he was, how he was sanctified, how it was that he pleased God in all of his ways and lived for him. So when Potiphar's wife comes and says to Joseph, lie with me, it says that he refused. He refused. He was going to maintain that way of purity that the Lord had called him to, and that he knew that the Lord would have him to walk in that way of purity, and that he would walk in a way that pleased God, and he abounded therein. And he knew how to possess his vessel with sanctification and with honor. Joseph did these things. He walked in this way of purity. And so it says that he refused. And then he says, as she pressed him more, he says to her, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He recognized fornication for what it was. He said, I will not do this great wickedness, and I'm going to sin before God? He lived a life that was sanctified and set apart for God, and knew that God had called him to be holy and to walk in this way, and he knew how to possess his vessel with honor. And it says that it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her. He listened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. This is how he maintained his sanctification, and this is how he honored the Lord, and this is how he abounded more and more in the ways of the Lord. And it says that as time went on, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. There was nothing of value to him. That garment was not of value to him. What was of value to him was his soul, and that he would possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And so he fled, and he got him out. That was the right response. This was the way of purity that he was keeping. The Lord Jesus began his ministry and spoke there on the Sermon on the Mount and said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Joseph exemplified that. He maintained this way of purity. His heart was pure before the Lord. He possessed his vessel in sanctification and honor. And for us, this is the lesson for us. The Lord Jesus tells us that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That do not defile themselves in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, who don't go in the way of this world. And so it was that in the early time of Joseph, and in the time of the apostles, as the apostle Paul had found it necessary to write to the Thessalonians of this matter, And so it is true in this day that we all should know how to possess our vessel, our bodies, in sanctification, separated for God's use and in honor. Because he gave us this life, and he wants to give us eternal life. And so we are to walk in this way. The Apostle Paul had given young Timothy some instruction likewise and said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example unto the believers." Be an example of the believers. And this is a charge for each one of us as well, that we are to be an example of the believers in living this way of purity, in possessing our vessels, our bodies, in sanctification and in honor to the Lord. And so we are to be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, meaning in our lifestyle, in the things that we engage in, the way we walk, even as we read here in the beginning, that we would walk in a way that would please God, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. We are to be an example of the believers in these things. And it's good what was included in here is this way of purity that we are being called to. Not defiling ourselves. As Jesus said, those things that come out from within us, those are the things that defile us. And so we are to be careful that with our vessels, that what comes in, we would guard against, so that nothing evil would come out. And so what the entrance into our vessels, into our bodies, is through our eyes. And so we are to be careful what we look upon, that we would maintain our vessels with sanctification and with honor to the Lord. Job said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? With mine eyes, I am not going to defile myself. I am not going to take into my vessel, in that entrance into my vessel, through my eyes, those things that would defile me." The psalmist has said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." No evil thing to be before mine eyes. This is the way we can guard ourselves against the evil that is in this world, and those things that would defile us, that would take away our purity. That comes in through our eyes. And so the psalmist said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." And then further he says, "I hate the work of them that turn aside. It will not cleave to me." And so the Apostle Paul here is saying that we should not walk in the way of the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That should not be a part of a believer's life. And Jesus, again, he gives good instruction on this, and these are matters of the heart. We are to guard our heart with diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. And Jesus says, "Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart." That which comes into the eye, that which comes in, we need to guard against, because then that entrance into our heart, or through our eyes, comes into our minds. And then we have to filter. And if we're not careful, then it goes to the heart from our minds. The Apostle John wrote in his epistles, he says, "For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes," that which comes in, again, into our vessels, "the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but that's of the world." So again, we need to be very careful as to what we would put before our eyes. Certainly there are times when it's beyond our control, but we are to be careful what comes into our eyes, because that is the entrance into our vessels that we are to keep sanctified and that we are to hold with honor. The world passeth away, or for all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Doing the will of God. And again, we read that here in Thessalonians as well. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that every one of you should abstain from fornication. So we are to guard our eyes, that what we would put before it is that which would be good, wholesome, and healthy. What comes into the eyes goes to the brain. The brain has to process that which the eye sees. If we are in the spirit, we will filter out that which is evil. Again, going back to the Psalms, we are to have thoughts that please the Lord. So the psalmist says in 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." We know that the Lord knows our thoughts. We know that. But if we are inviting the Lord to search my heart, see and my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. We are inviting him to that because we want to maintain this way of purity that pleases the Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. We look to the Lord to have him show whether we are having thoughts that please him well or not. Proverbs also speaks of, as a man thinketh, so is he. As those things that we think upon, that's what we become. And so we are to guard our thoughts and yield to the Lord, looking to his word, looking to his spirit to guide us in this way that he would have us to go, that we might lead this life that is sanctified, that is set apart, that we might know how to walk and how we might please the Lord and abound therein more and more. This is our heart's desire. And in doing so, this is what we need to do with our thoughts. As the Bible says here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. The Word of God is giving us knowledge here. As we read here, that we know the commandments that were given unto us by Jesus Christ. We know how to possess our vessel in sanctification, in honor. And so there are spirits, there are voices that are puffing themselves again up, exalting themselves against that knowledge of God. But we know what God's will is, that we would live a sanctified life, that we would know how to possess our vessel with sanctification and honor. And then bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So all the thoughts that we would have, all the thoughts that we would have, we would filter with our mind. Is this godliness? Is this what tends to life? Because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So is this thought good? Is it going to maintain my way of purity before the Lord? So we are to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. By his grace, we can do that when we yield ourselves to him. And again, then we maintain this way of purity. And as Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So we guard our eyes, we guard our thoughts, and then we go to deeds. Two times recently, we've had messages about putting off that which is evil and putting on that which is good. the old bottles and to the new bottles, putting off anger, wrath, malice, and but putting on charity. Another verse that goes along with that is found in Romans. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." So we put on Jesus Christ. We have his mind. Those are our thoughts. How do I glorify the Lord? Even as Jesus wanted to glorify the Lord in all that he said, in all that he did, to glorify his Father. And we are to put on Jesus Christ, do as he did, and not to make provision for the flesh, not to make allowances for the flesh, but that would fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because that leads to damnation. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, also speaks of these matters. He says, "Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." This body that he has given unto us, it's his. It belongs to him. And it's not for fornication. Later in that same chapter, chapter 6, it says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Again, going back to that verse we had in Thessalonians about not defrauding our brother, and going on, going beyond in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as also we have forewarned you and testified. So we are not to sin against our own bodies. And he says further, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and that ye are not your own?" We are not our own, but we have been purchased. Jesus Christ had to take upon himself flesh and blood, come down here upon this earth, that he might purchase us, that he might redeem us from that condemnation of sin. And so we are no longer our own. And we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It belongs to him. And so therefore we are to glorify him. And this is what we are to do. Guard our eyes, watch our thoughts, not allowing sin to stay there, but to be spiritually minded. And then we are to glorify God with our bodies and with our spirits, because they're God's. What we have belongs to the Lord. But yet he has given us free will. But in that free will, we are to glorify God, because he is so worthy of that glory that is due unto him. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul speaks, saying, "Whatever we do, whether therefore we eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." This is what we're being called to. This is the life of sanctification. This is the way that we ought to walk and to please God and abound more and more. This is the way that we are to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. Keeping things that are evil from our eyes, keeping thoughts from festering in our minds that are not pure, and glorifying God, because he is so worthy. All that he has given unto us, all that he has blessed us with, he is so worthy that we walk in this way and abound therein more and more. God has given unto us his Holy Spirit to direct us and to guide us in this way that he would have us to go. James also speaks of this, of an important aspect as well, and keeping sanctified and in this way of purity. And it comes through the grace of God. God has given unto us much grace, and as we yield ourselves to him, he pours out his grace to us. Says in James chapter 4, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Those who are proud and say, no, I know how to handle my vessel. I know how to handle it. And go forth in a proud manner. Satan will destroy them. Satan will destroy them. And no grace will be given unto them because they are proud. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace is a measure of strength. Grace is that measure to be patient in times of trial and tribulation and testing. Temptations that we might go through. As we go through that in patience, he gives us grace. He gives us of his strength. He gives us of his wisdom. He gives us an eternal perspective that we would look beyond and know that that sin has no value in one who is redeemed and sanctified. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Bible says, flee fornication, and the devil will flee from us when we submit ourselves to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify. Purify, that beautiful word, a word that just brings up imagery of cleanliness, and there's no defilement in it. So he says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We cannot serve God and mammon. Romans chapter 6 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We cannot serve God and the devil. And so he's saying, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And again, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The Lord will lift us up. The Lord will provide grace. When we walk in this way of purity, when we walk in a way that we want to please God and we want to abound more and more, and God pours out his grace. When we want to possess our vessel, our bodies in its entirety, because he gave it to us in sanctification and hold it with honor, then he blesses us. When we yield ourselves to him in this sanctification and in this honor and in this way that pleases the Lord. God has grace and God is good. If we walk in the ways of the Gentiles and do as they do and toy with sin, we won't see God. The Bible says so. But the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are we when we don't defile ourselves with the ways of this world. Blessed are we when we remove carnality out of our lives. Blessed are we when we hold with honor and with sanctification our bodies and our spirits, which the Lord has given unto each and every one of us. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Have you ever prayed to ask the Lord what is his will? We've read this afternoon, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. When questions arise and opportunities and paths present themselves, what will lead towards sanctification, purity, and dedication to the Lord? When we seek the wisdom from above, what do we find first? Scripture says that the wisdom that cometh from above is first pure. If you are seeking the will of God, open your heart and mind to those things that make for purity. This is God's direction to us, and even as we have sung, how we need to flee to the Lord as our refuge, And he has not left us comfortless. Or to fight this battle upon our own strength. But we have the commands of Jesus Christ. We also have his intercession, who was tempted, who is able to comfort and to succor those that are tempted, and to provide us an insight into the way of escape that we might be able to bear it with his help. And he has granted us his blessed Holy Spirit to warn us. The warnings are there. May we heed them. May we appreciate them because they are for our good and will lead to blessing in our work for the Lord and in our lives that are lived for him through faith. May God bless his word to that end. Amen.